Rashi does not give us the order as they appear in the Haggadah. The Haggadah says there are, the Torah is talking to four children, Chacham, Rasha, Tam, and Sheni Yadei Elishal, as we have them over here. Rashi is giving us the order as they appear in Torah. No? Yes.
Yes.
Yes, precisely. Rashi is giving us the order as they appear in Torah. The first parasha earlier in Parasha Bo, you had, your children would say, Mahavodah Zalzachem, that was the Ben Havasha. In the parasha of Kadesh, we have the Higadatol Adilcha, that was the Eino Yodei Alisho. In this parasha now, we have Mazot, that's the one who asks, Derech Stuma. Derech Stuma. Sort of, you know, closed, concealed. And then we have in Devarim, Hashoel Derech Chacha, the one who asks these things. All right. Next Rashi, number two. What we're really going to get to is not only the Tav, but there's something else that's extremely fascinating or mystifying. Why is a firstborn chamor singled out from all the other animals? You understand? There's a special mitzvah. A chamor! A chamor has a firstborn. There's some kind of sanctity to a firstborn chamor. It's a trefa animal. What's so special about the chamor? So Rashi says, Peta chamor, velo peta shar behemot meya, number two, not the firstborn of any other unclean animal. Ugzeirat hakatovi. Rashi says, Tzeres hakasim. Pasuk decrees this. Because the firstborn of Egypt are compared to chamorim. Now, I want to make a point at the very beginning, and that's going to be extremely important so that we understand this year. Today, if you call somebody a chamor, I would say that you're not saying nice things about. By the way, I take it back. I'm sure nobody here calls anybody a chamor. We don't call people names. But chamor is a pejorative sort of chamor. When Rashi says that the Chorei Yitzchayim are compared to chamorim, and we're going to see later that the chief chamor is Paro, Torah is saying something of a completely different nature. So you know what I'm really going to tell you what the Talmud is all about. And I'm going to tell you what the chamor is all about. That's the purpose of the shiur. And I'd better do it before they serve the chicken at the wedding. You understand? I plan on getting my greasy chicken with all the cholesterol in it. Every so often I can. And it's a pasuk in Yecheskel. Yecheskel describes Mitzrayim and their firstborn and Paro. Bisar chamorim bisarim, their flesh is the flesh of a chamor. Alright. Va'ol, Rashi says a second shot. Shesiyu et Yisrael b'yitziyatam mitzrayim. The donkeys helped Klal Yisrael when they went out of Egypt. She'en l'cha echad b'yisrael shelo not halimo harbe chamorim. There wasn't a single Jew that didn't take many donkeys with him. To unim, carrying kaspa muzahava mishal Mitzrayim, the silver and the gold of Mitzrayim, they emptied Mitzrayim. How were they going to carry it all? The chamorim. So we owe a debt of gratitude to the chamorim. It's going to get deeper and deeper as we continue our investigation of the chamorim, and I think ultimately we have to understand that Rashi is saying something deep as well. Watch the chizkuni. I forgot, I didn't put a number over there. The paragraph without the number. After Rashi, too. Four lines, Mazos. Five lines, there's a second Mazos. Dovaracha, Mazos. The Chizkuni is looking at Pshuto Shel Mikra. He says over here,
When this child asks, when your son is going to ask you tomorrow, Ma'azos, what's this all about? He's not altogether a term. You know what he's asking about? He's not asking about Pesach or Matzah or Maror. We know all about that already. You know what he's fascinated by? The whole halacha of Pidyon Bechor. By the way, the redemption of the first son and the first born of an animal. He's asking a very specific question. He's not asking about the whole story of Mitzrayim. I know the story. I know that God took us out. And that's why we eat matzah, and that's why we make a carbon Pesach. He's not asking matzos. He's asking, wait a minute, you just not told us a special halacha of sanctifying the firstborn, and not only son of firstborn, a firstborn animal. Says the Chizkuni, al Pesach val matzah kvar shemanu tam, about Pesach and matzah, we already heard the reason. But the redemption of a son and the redemption of a firstborn animal, we didn't hear anything about that. What's that all about? The Sephorno down at the bottom of the page, number 3, down at the bottom of the page, he makes it even more specific. According to Rashi, it would seem that the question Ma'azot was, what's this? According to the Chasuni, it's, what's this mitzvah of redemption of the firstborn? The Sephorno is going one step further. Mazos pidyon petach amor. Oh, this Tam is asking, pray tell me, what's the whole story of pidyon petach amor, redeeming a firstborn donkey? Shehi behemet meya. It's an unclean animal. There can't be physical sanctity upon it. You can't bring a chamor on the mizbeach. And then you tell me another halacha that if you didn't redeem the chamor, you have to chop off the head of the chamor. Va'rifas petach chamor. Chopping off the head of the chamor. Im lo tifteh, if you didn't redeem it. What's this all about? By the way, if a Tam would ask father or mother by the Seder this question, how many parents do you think could answer it? According to the Sephorno, he's not just saying, what's this all about? He's asking a very specific question, and it's a deep question. You know what it also turns out to be? The only mitzvah in all of Torah, the only specific mitzvah in all of Torah that somebody asks a question. And if you read Pshuto Shel Mikra, there's no question about it. That the Sephorno is reading Pshuto Shel Mikra. He was just told the halacha, the pasuk just told us the halacha of a firstborn chamor. And the son sits over there and says, Mazos, what's this all about? And what's the answer? The answer is, and what's the answer? Because Paro hardened his heart. Paro hardened his heart. What's it have to do with the firstborn donkey? Let's go further. Bechozek Yod, in the Sephorno, Bechozek Yod, Hotzionu Hashem Mitzchayim. Bechozek Yodom Shel Mitzchayim, Hotzionu Hashem. Ba'omro, Ba'techazak Mitzrayim Olam, Bechozek Yod, with a strong hand. The Sephorno says, don't mean God's strong hand, it means Mitzrayim's strong hand. They wanted us out, and they wanted us out fast. Kamra, as it says, Vatechavak Mitzrayim Alaam, Mitzrayim became strong to push the people out. Ba'ofin shelo yacholnu l'seit nechosteinu ba'galot k'mineg Mitzrayim. We couldn't carry all of our wealth on wagons. There weren't enough wagons. V'hutznaknu l'seit b'chamorim. Maybe the wagons had to be fixed, the wagons had to be prepared. For whatever reason, either there weren't enough wagons, or the wagons couldn't hold it all. We had to have donkeys. V'nasa behem nes, shehispiku lezeh b'kemod ega. And there was a tremendous miracle, that all of a sudden, wherever you go, there are donkeys waiting there. Somebody, I said this year, somebody told me a medrash said that there were 50 donkeys for each Jew. Go make a cheshbon, and we worked it out, about 50, 60, 70 million donkeys. All of a sudden, there are donkeys. The chol aleihem eizeh kedusha ruya lepidyon. So he says that there came down upon them some sort of sanctity
that should be redeemed.
And then he says, this Sforno says a very fascinating thing. He says, if you don't redeem the chamor, then if you don't redeem the chamor with a seh, if you don't redeem the chamor with a seh, with a shesula, then you have to chop off the head of the chamor. So he says like this, Paro was a chamor, right? Paro was a chamor. Who's called a seh? Klal Yisrael, seh tezura yisrael, Klal Yisrael is a seh. Paro could, the chamor could have redeemed himself by letting the seh go. If Paro would have let Jews out, he would have redeemed himself by virtue of the fact that he let the seh go. But since he didn't let the seh go, so what happens if you don't redeem the chamor with the seh? You have to chop off the head of the chamor. Says the, we'll read through it quickly. Because Paro hardened his heart from sending us out, he's compared to a chamor. Ka'omro. This is the passage that I quoted earlier from Yechezkel. Asher b'sar chamorim b'saram. V'hoyoyochel lived out at Atzmo. He could have redeemed himself. V'amo and his people b'shalchoy b'shalchoy sending out Israel. Sheheim shalom said they are compared to a seh. Ka'omro, as it says, seh pezura Yisrael. V'chein bomo, it also says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says about Klal Yisrael, atein not so me, you are my sheep. You know what he did? You didn't redeem yourself with a seh. So what's the law if you don't redeem yourself with a seh? So you have to chop off the head of the chamor. So the first one of the time it came. So far it still seems a little, you know, but we don't have a handle on this yet. What's going on? I mean, I don't want to say, but you know, it sounds like a little funny, right? The whole, everything seems a little funny. Oh, it's not funny. It's so serious. It's so, so serious. And I'll show you why. The real core thought is going to come in the Maharal number 5. But before we go to the Maharal, just something fascinating. I learned the Pesukim so many times that I never noticed it. I want you to go to the end of Parshat Va'era. Last week said at the end of Parshat Va'era, Master of Va'era. I'm going to show you something in two Pesukim that's going to blow your mind. But it's going to be the beginning of an understanding of what's happening over here. What the story of the Chamor is all about. That's chapter 9. The end of chapter 9. The Makkah that's been coming down, I was borrowed. Hail! By Yetzei Moshe Minyim Paro, Moshe went out from the fourth Paro, and he went out of the city. By Yifros Kapov Hashem, and he stretched out his hands to God. By Yachdalu Hakolos Vahaporod. The sounds, the terrible sounds, the noises that accompanied the borrowed stopped, and the borrowed, the hail stopped. Umotor lo nitach arza, and rain did not pound down upon the ground. Vayar Paro, and Paro saw, ki chodal hamotor vahaporod vahakolos, and Paro saw that the rain, the hail, and the sound stopped. By Yosef lachato, and he continued to sin. By Yarbeid libo, and he hardened his heart, who vahavodav in the surface. I don't know how many times I went over these two psukim, and I never noticed it. First pasuk, when Moshe Rabbeinu prays, what stops? Vayachdalu, the kolot, the sounds, the noise, the cacophonous, frightening noise. 2, the hail. 3, no rain. How does Paro see it in the next pasuk? Vayar Paro, and Paro saw what had stopped?
Rain.
The rain,
and the hail,
and the noise. What's the difference between Moshe and Paro? Isn't that fascinating? Huh? Of course, the order. The order is precisely the opposite. You know what the problem was? And this is mamish a continuation of last week. And in his shira, Mark Halon used a number of the sources that I used in last week's shira. Because I don't think we're going to get to it, but the second side of the sheet that I gave you is precisely the same
as the second side of the sheet that I gave you last week, that I'm down at the end of both. Because he deals with that, and that's all involved over here. It's the same thing. You know what's happening over here? And it's related to the Chav, Rav Soloveitchik, that I learned with you last week. The Chav brought the Pesukim in Devarim, where it says that where does Mitzrayim get its irrigation from? It doesn't rain in Mitzrayim. It comes from the Nile. Now, do you understand, if it comes from the Nile, what Paro had created the illusion that he is a deity. Pasuk says that he said, Liya Ori, it's my Nile, Vani Asitini, I made it. He was the god of the Nile. The god of the Nile. Do you know what happens if it starts raining in Mitzrayim? He's out of business. It never rains in Mitzrayim. All of a sudden it begins to rain. Paro gets a chachat on cup, and Paro, do you know what? Before I know it, if this keeps up, my people in Mitzrayim are going to start saying the same Talmud Matal of Racha. They're going to look to a deity from heaven who sends down rain. They may even start saying, Vaneinu Bodei Olam, the Midas HaRachamim, if it doesn't rain. We're talking about something that's going to put Paro completely out of business. Because he sees himself as the god of the Nile. And if he's the god of the Nile, his calling himself the god of the Nile is a denial of God. How do you like that? Wait, that was a good one. See, was that a good sentence? Good. Your wife didn't like it, but all right. Okay. When Paro calls himself the god of the Nile, it's a denial of God. So therefore, Paro sees it from his point of view. From his point of view, what is most significant, the rain. Baruch Hashem, the rain has stopped. Thank God the rain has stopped. Because if it keeps raining, he's finished. Because he sees the world through his own eyes. And the world that he sees through his own eyes is a completely different world than the world that Moshe Rabbeinu sees. The difference between the world of Moshe and the world of Paro is Paro lives in a world about which he says, Mi Hashem, who is God, Asher Eshma, B'kolod Asher Lismen. He rejects the idea of God. And therefore, if he rejects the idea of God, he is obviously incapable of seeing what we talked about last week, that every breath of light is a miracle. Every drop of rain is a miracle that's built into nature. He can't see that. He's incapable of seeing it. He doesn't want to see it. When he does see rain coming down, it shakes him. He wants an end to that rain. Thank God the rain stopped. Borod the second, because Borod is just another form of rain. The Kailas, no. He couldn't care about that. He couldn't care about that. Because, do you know, it's time for the Chorale. And you'll see how everything... how everything works out. Where's a chamor been used in Torah? Avram, when he gets up in the morning to go to the Arkeda Vayachavoshet Chamoro, he saddled his donkey. In Parshat Shemot, it says that Moshe took his wife and his children Vayarkivem al hachamor. He had them ride upon the chamor in order to go to Mitzrayim. I'll read the psukim there because the psukim there are terribly important to our understanding of what's happening here. It says by the Arkivei Malachamor. If you want to take a look, it's chapter 4, pasuk 20. Vayikach Moshe et ishto v'bona v'yarkivei malachamor v'yoshev arzo Mitzrayim. He went back to Mitzrayim. Vayikach Moshe smati olukim biyado. God said to Moshe,
when you go back to Mitzrayim, the Eikol Amostim Hashasanti, you better take a look at all the miracles that I place in your hand. Vasitam with Eikaro, you should do them before Paro Vaniyah. Chaseket Livaro, I'm going to strengthen his heart below. Yishalakatam, he's not going to send you out. Look what comes together with the Chamor. V'omartel Paro, you should say to Paro, Kol Amar Hashem, so says God, B'ni B'chodi Yisrael. The opening statement is, my firstborn son is Yisrael. V'omar Elecha. And I'm telling you, Shalachet B'ni, send out my son, the Avdeni, so that he should serve me. But in my English, I'll go, if you refuse to send him out, Hinei Anochi Horeg Et Bincha B'chodecha. I'm going to kill your firstborn son.
Now the stage is set to find out what does the Chamor represent. The Chamor is not just a plain Chamor. Let's take a look at the Maharal.
Umash Omar! The Maharal is talking about the Pasuk in Shmot. What it says, Vayikach Moshe et Ishto ve bon of Moshe took his wife and his children by Yarkivem al Chamor, and he rode them on the donkey. So you know what's bothering the Maharal? Vayarkivem, he had them ride al Ha Chamor. Behei Hayidia. What do you mean, the Chamor? This is a special Chamor. What's so significant about this Chamor? You know what a Chamor is? A Chamor is a Chamor. Is a Chamor. And you see how the Maharal is going to express it. So he wants to, what do you mean? He rode them on the Chamor. V'od, v'chilo hayalo gamo, she'isa, sishtei, v'sbana. What are you putting your wife and your children? I mean, a Chamor is a Volkswagen. A Gamal is a Volvo. He didn't have a Gamal on which to put his wife and his children. When Eliezer went to get a wife for Yitzchak, he went with 10 Gamal and 10 camels. And he brought Rivka back on a Gamal. When Yaakov flees from the house of his father, the loved one, he flees on Gamalim. He doesn't have, all he has is a lowly Chamor, he doesn't have a Gamal. This is the Maharal asking the question. Kimo Shahoyal Yaakov is it happy? Yaakov had it said that Vayikach et Bonav et Moshe Vayisa Otara Gamal. He took his wife and his children and he carried them on the Gamal. So he brings a medrash of Pirkei de Reb Eliezer. Unbelievable medrash. Pirkei de Reb Eliezer says the following, V'amu Shom Vayarkivei Malachamor, on that pasuk that they rode on the donkey, Hu HaChamor Sherochav Olav Avraham Avinu Dichtiv Vayachavoshet Chamorav. When it says by Moshe that he put his wife and children on the Chamor, you know which Chamor it is? It's that self-same Chamor that Avraham used to go to the Akedah. Dichtiv Vayachavoshet Chamorav, because it says he saddled his donkey. V'hu HaChamor She'osid Lirkov Olav Melech HaMashiach. That donkey is the donkey on which Mashiach is going to ride, Dixiv, because it says the prophet in Zechariah describes Mashiach, Ani, a poor man, Rochev al Hachamor, riding on the donkey. Okay? The donkey. And more than that, Vahu Hachamor Shenivra Ben Ashmashos, B'Sheshit Yimei Bereshit. The Medrash ends by saying, one of the things that was created Erev Shabbos, the first Erev Shabbos Bein HaShemashos, after sunset, before nightfall, the beginning of Shabbos, was that donkey. The donkey is becoming very, very significant and terribly important. And you'll see a sentence in the Maharal, awesome, watch. The Yeshivik Noah Maud was it. He says we have to ask the question, he doesn't understand the Medrash. My Shona Chamor Zeh, Nishar Chamor. Why is this donkey? In other words, I say that it's the fifth tash of the Manishana. My Shona HaChamor HaZem, Mikol HaChamor. Why is this donkey different than all other donkeys? V'chi Hu Yoter Chashuv, he's a more important donkey. And look at the way that the Maharal leads a medrash. She'ein Sofik, there's no doubt. She'beheima Hoysof. U'beheima Achas Kamar Teres. You should know this Chamor was a Baha'ina. It was an animal. I mean, just now it occurs to me, God, a whole new thrust to the shiur, but I'll have to work it out. The Rebbe talks in a number of places about Chamoro Shel Rav Pinchas Ben Yair. It was Yishkolim. Rav Pinchas Ben Yair had a Chamor. And the Chamor never ate anything trace. If you put something before the Chamor that Trumas and Mises hadn't been taken, wouldn't eat. Gemara tells the story, 3 days. 3 days, it didn't eat. So they came to Pinchas Ben Yair, I should be the Chamor, you know the story with the Chamor, with the horse, like, if you just make... never goes without food for 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, you know. Maybe he can just keep getting going without food, but they got worried about the chamor. You know, about where the chamor. So he checked and he found out that there was a suffix where the tumors of mysis had been taken and the chamor refused to eat. So now, you know, I didn't even think during the shir, the preparation of the shir about chamorish and pinkos benyar, but it may very well fit in with everything that was said. But he says it's a behemoth, the Maral says. So what's so special about this donkey, the donkey of Avraham, Moshe, and Moshiach? The oath, top of the next column, Lomam Nivra B'sheshis Mei B'reshis V'lolokach Shar Chamor. Why was this chamor created by Sheshis Mei B'reshis? Why didn't he take another donkey? The next sentence is an extremely important sentence to be evil, and if we only learn this Maral for this sentence, also could die. Avo rabotenus and pramlo vracha hifligum ma'od bechachmatam legalot matzponei hachamor. Chachmei Yisrael, with their great wisdom, revealed the secrets of the donkey. Now, they understood, when they're talking about donkeys, they're not just talking about chamor. There's something significant out there. And he says the following. The Lama of Elu Shlosha Dafka, why Dafka, these three who are Avraham, Moshe, and Mashiach, does it say that they rode out of Hamar? Daf. You should know Kikol Rechiva Hu Mora Al Shaharochav Nivdal Me'en Asher Rochev Alav Umit Ale Alav Ki Me'ach Ashehu Rochev Alav Mit Nasei Alav Ve'ino Mitzuraf Im Asher Hu Rochev Alav. One who rides upon something, it means that he is in control. And he rises above that which he rides upon. And he is separated from it. He's not part of it. Do you know what the chamor represents? The chamor represents a materialistic, physical, sensual world. And the tachlis of man in this world is to be able to rise above and ride that chamor. Because if you don't learn how to ride that chamor is going to drive you. Materialism and the pursuit of power, prominence, wealth, and all of the material world is going to ultimately destroy man. Man has to learn how to control it. Riding upon the chamor is controlling it. And therefore, if you will notice, by Avram it says, by Yachavoshet Chamoro, by Avram it says that he saddled the donkey. By Moshe, he moves one step further, and by Moshe, he places his wife and his children upon the Chamor, they're already on the Chamor. And by Moshiach, it says he's Oni Rochev al Chamor. He is already riding upon the donkey. And all of this represents the way in which we relate in this world to the physical and sensual world. That's what the chamor is all about. The tachlis of man is to be able to ride over it, to master it, to use it. That's exactly it. Chamor comes from chomriyut. Chomriyut, the most physical of all animals, is the chamor. My wife said after the shir, the whole shir is chomer l'machshava. It is the matter for thought, by the way. World is made up of chomer, matter, and tzura, the form that's given to the chomer. Mitzrayim is the classic materialistic society in which there's a total absence of God. And if there's a total absence of God, then it means that chomer, is that which rises above man. By the way, when Rashi is saying, or when Chazal tell us, that there were a lot of donkeys to carry the wealth of Klal Yisrael that they take out of the Mitzrayim, this is also symbolic. It's symbolic that they see the wealth like the chamor. And that wealth, which is like the chamor, is something that man has to utilize for a higher cause, to be able to see sanctity in the chamor. Paro and Mitzrayim, who have removed God completely from the world equation, to them everything is chomer or chamor. Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who comes there and he tells them, no, 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 no. In every blade of grass there is divinity. There's a Rabbeinu Shlomo who acts in nature. Every part of nature is nest. There is no teva. There is no nature in nature. All nature is God. We've said on a number of occasions. Chazal tell us, Elokim b'gematria hateva. The numerical value of Elokim equals hateva, nature. Both are 86. Let's go further in the Maharal. The kasher rotsa HaKadosh Baruch Hu lahagdil et Avraham et Beit Moshe, when God wanted to raise Avraham and Moshe, lo hitnasut shehulim melachim. He does not intend to exalt them and raise them in the way in which kings raise themselves b'gevuratam o ba'asram, with their might or with their wealth. Avraham hitnasut said, this rising is hitnasut ma'alo kedusha u'ma'alo nevzelet u'krof nel ma'alo nekid. They rise above the chomer, above the chamor, above the physical and the material world in order to grasp on to a sense of divinity and holiness. So therefore it says, Matan lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted of Avraham and Moshe and Mashiach? They should ride the chamor. The chamor is the bronco, and you have to tame that chamor. And therefore the Rabbeinu Shlomo wants to see them rising above, because he separates himself from Chomer. However, if he would ride on just any old donkey, by the way, I should have said that, this is the oldest donkey of them all. This donkey has Arichas Yalan, you understand. So he says, God wanted to raise them above the entire physical world. And how do we know that these three, Avraham, Moshe, and Mashiach, will rise above the physical world? So the Maharal is going to say, as I explained it a little bit more, by the Brisbane of Sodom, my cousin Zerba comes to Avraham, and he tells Avraham, Habet HaShamayma, look to the heavens, and see the stars. Now the word habet is always used when looking from up down. How can you say to Avraham, habet, look down at the heavens? Ella, so Rashi says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu raised and lifted Avraham from above the atmosphere of the earth so that he looked down upon the heavens. And then about how it's going to bring. And last week said that it said that one of the makas had to be brought by Moshe. And if God tells Moshe, "Netei matcha al hashamayim, stretch out your hand above the heavens." What do you mean, over the heavens? He's down here. No, 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 no. Moshe is raised and uplifted above the heavens. I don't know if he brings it, but I believe maybe by Moshiach. There's another topic about Moshiach. There's a passage about Mashiach in Daniel where it says, "Va'aru and behold, imanone Shemaya, he comes with the clouds of the heaven." Mashiach rises above the physical and the material world. So he says, on all of them, the Maharal goes on to say, they ruled the material world and were separated, and this was their great accomplishment. And that's the accomplishment the Klal Yisrael has to strive for. Not to be manipulated by materialism, but rather to be able to use materialism for a good purpose. Klal Yisrael needs to leave Mitzrayim. The Chamor is there to take them out of Mitzrayim. What's the significance of this Chamor? This Chamor having been created Erev Shabbos Bein Hashemashot. Sopik Chol, Sopik Kodesh. We don't know if it's weekday, or it's holy. Is it Chol or is it Kodesh? What does the halacha therefore say? The halacha therefore says you have to be mosif michol ala Kodesh. You have to take part of the Chol and you add that to the Kodesh, and therefore Shabbos begins while it is still Chol. We turn the Chol into Kodesh. Turning the Chol into Kodesh is the task of Klal Yisrael throughout history. Taking the Chomer and giving it sanctity, so that Every physical or bodily function becomes an act of mitzvah. All wealth, power, is used l'tov for kedusha. You know what? It's at precisely that moment that the Rebbeinu Shalom creates this chamor. Because the purpose of this chamor in the world is to take it from chol and make it kodesh. And that's something that Paro doesn't understand. Paro is completely incapable of understanding that. Why? Because in his worldview, there is no sanctity, and there is no divinity, and there is no God in all of nature. To him, a chamor is a chamor. And one of them, as he comes to the Har HaMoriah, he turns to Yitzchak, and he, Rebbe says, as he turns to Yitzchak, and he asks Yitzchak, do you see anything on the mountain? So Yitzchak says, I see Onan Toshur Al-Hahar. I see a cloud above the mountain. He then turns to Eliezer and Ishmael, and he asks them, do you see anything on the mountain? Sand. Sand is what they see. So he tells them, Hulachem po im hamor. You stay here.
Very good.
She said very good. I'll finish what I'm saying, but she said very good. They see sand on the mountain. I believe that's the lesson of the Medrash. I have to go back to the Medrash. They see, so he says, what do they see? Chol sand. Chol, that which is not holy, that's what they see. So you know what our mom tells them? Shmulachem po nachamor. You stay here with the donkey. And I and the boy will go there. We're going to rise above it. And Rashi over there says, Am Hadom El HaChamor, of people who are like a Hamor. Mitzchayim HaChamorim. And it's not being said in a pejorative manner, as we would understand that there are a bunch of Hamorim. No. What the Hamor represents is that materialistic physical world. By the way, there are a lot of chamorim on Hayom Hazeh until today. The world is wrapped up, certainly the Western world. A great deal of it is wrapped up completely in materialism. And over here, the purpose over here, therefore, the chamor takes on tremendous significance. The chamor represents the whole struggle. The struggle of the Jew, the struggle that takes place in the world, the struggle between Moshe and Paro, that's what the Chamor represents. And therefore the Chamor, because this Chamor, you know, I get the feeling that all of those Chamorim had enough of being in Mitzrayim. You know where those Chamorim would rather have gone? They'd rather be ridden by Jews. And therefore, because then the Chamor himself senses that he can become a source of sanctity. The Kedusha of the Chamor ultimately becomes the purpose of Yetziyat Mitzrayim. Because there's going to be one people that will carry this message that everything in this world has to be used for the purpose of holiness. You have to take Chomer, you have to take matter, and make it count. And make it count. And that's not in the pursuit of pleasure or the pursuit of power and prominence. When the Tam asks the question, Ma'azod, he's not asking a very simple question. He's not asking a very simple question that is so easy to answer. According to the Sephorno, what is he asking? What's this Pidyon Petech Amor? The whole story of Mitzrayim begins with Moshe Rabbeinu's Amor. And it ends, of course, with, yes, Chazal saw that what went out of Mitzrayim, what went out of Mitzrayim were Chamorim that went out of Mitzrayim. Vayimaru et chayehem bechomer uvil zeinim. Very good. I think you're sitting next to her, that's why. From Chol we came to Chomer. They embittered their lives. Chomer, the material world, can be the source of terrible embitterment. Unless you know how to handle it. Unless you see its significance and its value. You see it as a tool, as a means, rather than an end or a goal. That's where Paro goes wrong. And because he goes wrong over there, he hardens his heart. He does not want to see sanctity in anything material. He removes all of that. So, I think I'm going back for a little holy tip. It's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to eat at a sudas mitzvah. I'm not going there because I'm hungry. I'll tell you. Listen, I had a unique experience yesterday. A niece of mine had a baby boy, Bet Shemesh, so there's a bris. Went to the bris of Bet Shemesh. We're in the middle of the bris of Bet Shemesh. Another niece, who had a baby boy 2 weeks ago, the baby was sick. All of a sudden, we get a message. They're making a bris in her house. So we ate Sudas Mitzvah Fleishiks in Bet Shemesh. We drove back to Dati Lu'umi, you understand, and watched again for a second Fleishiks. I said, after that, it's going to take 12 hours till I can get caught. But Fleishik was talking about Sudas Mitzvah. The whole concept of Sudas Mitzvah is a very Jewish Torah concept, where the chomer, the chickens with the cholesterol, becomes a source of great sanctity. I'm not taking any questions now. I'm going back to the wedding.
Why is it?